You're tuned to Arizona's favorite home improvement resource. It's the Rosie on the House Show.
Joined today at the Rosie on the House is a panel of contractors, renovations in Prescott, Diamond Sky out of Sedona, and Assurance in Tucson. Joined now on the line by we have Mingus from Wilcox. Good morning, sir. How can we help you?
Yes. Thank you for the great panel this morning. A small question, is the rebuilding of the row going well in Prescott? Can I ask that?
Whiskey Row, yeah, it's... Tom probably knows that better than anyone else.
There was
he's there every night, right?
Yeah, right. Not really. Actually, what's happening right now is the birdcage and the restaurant that was right next door burned down several months ago, and they have not started rebuilding yet. When they go back with it, I don't know what's going to be going back there. I saw a design of a building, and I'm sure it's not going to be the birdcage. But right now the area is quadranted off. You're welcome to come up to Prescott, walk down Risky Row, bring your felt marker with you, and you can write on the plywood like hundreds of other people have about how much you miss the Birdcage Saloon.
Yeah, and while you're there, you can slake your thirst by just going down the street, go upstairs, and go to the Jersey Lily.
Oh, wonderful place!
I was honored, gifted to be there when they had the 6 or 7 bands on the street. I was a volunteer, and it was a great honor. And they happened to have a solar eclipse in the afternoon there, like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, or a lunar eclipse.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the great panel that I'm speaking with, I'm thinking of going bomb shelter wise or subterranean. And I've been told that if I declare for bomb shelter, I don't need permits here in the Wilcox area.
Yeah. I've been doing the radio show for a long time. And this is the first bomb shelter question I've ever gotten.
Maybe I get a basket of flowers.
I'm going to go back to my wife's advice of 25 years ago when I did the first show. And Rosie, when you don't know, say you don't know. Mingus, I don't know. John, does Wilcox have its own building department, or is that Cochise County Building Department?
I think it's Cochise. You know, I'm going to have to agree. I'm not sure. It's been several years since we've done a project in Wilcox. When we did that, there was a building department there that we had to process some permitting with.
Yeah.
So I think just getting online and finding that out, you should be able to get that question if the department's there. But I'd be surprised if you wouldn't need a permit for something like that.
It's funny. I know somebody that could do this. I actually have a brother-in-law in Ava, Missouri, who builds underground tornado. He calls them tornado shelters. But you buy, it's really what it is. I can say this. I'm outing my brother-in-law. He basically takes concrete septic tanks.
Unused.
Unused. He takes concrete septic tanks and sinks them in the ground and adds ventilation and comforts a home and quick access. And he's selling as many of them as he can build. And they're tornado shelters for the tornado belt all through Missouri. And he's going gangsters.
You know, Mingus,
bomb shelters.
I can tell you, I can't imagine in the ability of how government has grown in our country, that you can build anything without a permit. So I fully suspect that you'd better check out that if you need a permit or not, because getting caught doing work that you need a permit for and not having a permit can be very costly.
And we're not talking about, moving electrical wire inside where no one can see. I mean, going subterranean, you have tractors out there, you're going to have a lot of heavy equipment, a lot of building materials. That's not going to be a discrete project.
It's likely the neighbors will know.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk a little bit. We're trying to help and educate Arizona homeowners today on picking that remodeling contractor for the project you've got in mind. And we've talked about the courting process. We've talked about some of the qualifications you look for, what to do with the referrals. Let's talk about, now that you've narrowed it down and you've got your team put together, what are some of the key components of a contract? Mark, up in Sedona, what are some of the things a homeowner should have in the contract?
Well, you have to have a start. First of all, price, of course. You're going to have a price. You're going to have a scope of work description.
The more detailed, the better.
You're going to want to have, you'll have start dates, end dates. You'll have, if there is something that goes wrong, for instance, weather, you'll have caveats that will protect everybody from conditions that are outside of their control. But for the most part, it spells out what is expected. Our contract's 8, 9, 10 pages.
Yeah.
And it basically just covers, the scope of work page is probably the most important, and the scope of work could be 30 pages long.
It really could.
But the actual contract itself is much less, and a lot of it's legal clauses that we've put in. But I think that start and finish, price, and what's expected is probably the most important.
And y'all, with getting a start date in your contract and a completion date in your contract, as we've talked about, there are many things that can happen that can impact that finish date. Owner-driven changes, architect or interior designer-driven changes, acts of God, snow, when you're trying to get a driveway poured in Prescott may be a limiting factor on occasion or two.
The weather has affected us once or twice.
Yeah, once or twice. What you want to do is, as the project proceeds, have change orders submitted, even if they're no-cost change orders, have change orders submitted and documented about what that does to the completion date, so you can hold the contractor somewhat responsible to a completion date he advocated and said he could comply with. And folks, if that schedule starts falling apart early, don't hesitate to research your escape clause in the contract. Because if it starts getting off track early, it is very, very hard to make up time on a project, because we can't put a second crew on to work at night. Too often you're living in the house, and running a tile saw at 2 o'clock in the morning seems to disturb some homeowners. John, what are the things would you advocate homeowners should look for in a remodeling contract?
Well, certainly if you change the product on that, what you've agreed for originally, that may add lead time to it. But, you know, anytime you change product or your date or your cost, that needs to be reflected in a change order.
Get it documented.
And that's really important. And there should be a clear understanding of, you know, what does happen if we don't agree. How are we gonna problem solve this if we're not getting along? Okay. Our contract says we're going to do it in Pima County because that's where we do primarily most of our business. But, you know, that is something just to discuss, just to say, hey, if we're not getting along, what are we going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they have opportunities to do arbitration or other things like that if it gets to that. You know, we just want to be upfront with our homeowners to say we're going to do everything in our power to do it well, do it right. But if things start getting awkward or not working for you, what can we do? Like you said, your escape plan. We also include, you know, we can terminate the contract if we don't see something happening from the homeowner's perspective too, you know, but it just needs to be clear. And I think this all comes down to just very defined expectations on the project.
Absolutely. Tom, contract contents.
Well, I think everybody's covered
anything.
No, I think you guys pretty much have covered some of the obvious things that you need to have in your contract is making sure that you get a certificate of insurance from your contractor.
Absolutely.
The lien release process.
How about course of construction insurance? How do y'all handle that?
Well, we have the we carry liability, general liability insurance. And the way that we handle it is that we tell the homeowners that we are responsible for it until we attach it to their house. Once it's attached to their house, then they are responsible for that. And that typically is covered under their homeowner's insurance. And we have a clause in there that says, you know, please check your homeowner's insurance and make sure that it's carrying it at a particular level. And so insurance is very, very important.
Course of construction insurance. If you've got an expensive cabinet package, it gets delivered to the garage and something happens, God forbid, you know, a plumber sets fire to the house, those cabinets aren't covered by your homeowner's insurance.
No, but they would be covered by ours.
They would be covered by yours because you have an ongoing course of construction insurance that names the homeowner probably as a co-insured for that project, I would guess.
Yeah, we usually do that.
Yeah. So course of construction insurance is something y'all need to know about. It's something you need to be familiar with, and it is something you must insist on. I'm going to come back, and you've heard the things that are important to be in a contract. There's one thing we haven't covered yet, and in my mind and in my 40 years experience of remodeling, there's one more page that needs to be in a contract that's probably the most important page of all, and I'm going to talk about it when we get back. You need escape clause, you need a contract date, you need a price, you need a start date, you need a completion date. You need all these details that you cannot get too detailed a scope of work. And if you've got multiple people taking a look at the estimate, you must account for every single line item in that scope and make sure they're covered it.
And if you've heard something or just joined the conversation or couldn't listen through all of this, there is a ton of great information today with a lot of great contractors from all over the state. If you go to Rosie on the House, that's R-O-S-I-E on the House, rosieonthehouse.com, you have a couple different options on how to listen to the program. You can listen to it segment hourly. There's four segments per hour, or each hour is compiled, loaded to iTunes, and you can subscribe to the podcast, and it'll load all 3 hours commercial-free onto your iPod, and you can listen at your convenience throughout the week. It's rosieonthehouse.com. Joined with us, hang tight. We'll come back, finish our last couple calls, and Rosie's one more must-have in your remodeling contract.